We're going to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And we're going to talk a little bit about healing. And I tell you what, this is a marvelous subject in the Word of God, because in the world today we have sickness and disease, and it's claiming the lives of thousands in spite of medical advances in the realm of knowledge and practice. Also, there are many, many thousands of Christians that are sick. And sometimes, in some churches, all the preacher does is give them sympathy and pity. See? That's all he has to give them. When you come to the Lord, you have to realize that the Word is the solution to the problem. In Exodus 15 and verse 26, "Then the Lord made a decree, and he made a law for them, and he said to them, if you will listen carefully to the words and the voice of your Lord your God, and you will do right what is right in his sight, and you will pay attention to his commandments and keep all of his decrees, then I will bring none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Bible makes it clear that divine healing has been provided for all people of all nations to every generation. See, God gave the law. He said it in his words. See, I am the Lord that healeth thee. God is the healer. How many know God is a healer? The healer divine. He can heal a cancer, a tumor, a goiter. He can heal a person that's been suffering with epilepsy. He can heal the condition. But you have to realize that there are conditions that have to be met in the Word of God also. Now, I want to tell you something about God. God doesn't just heal you because you need healing. God doesn't just save you because you need saving. He heals you and he saves you when you obey what the Word says. Now, there are undeniable proofs that God's will is to heal us today. Number one, God has never changed. God doesn't change like the weather, like the fashions. I want you to know the strongest proof that we have that God is the healer is because his word says so. I am the Lord your God that healeth thee. God said that. Amazing how if a Lord touches you just one time. I was growing up in Africa. My dad was an asthmatic. We lived right by the ocean. I saw as many as 37 ships go by our apartment every day. My dad would sit on the porch there, and he was dying with asthma. Right about 200 yards away was what we call the foghorn. Whenever the mist came up, it would cover the ocean, and you couldn't even see the ships, even though we were 200 yards away. You couldn't see any of the ships, and my dad would start going through this hard time of breathing because he was an asthmatic. One night my dad went to a meeting. There were 20,000 people in the meeting. They were on an open field. He gathered together with his folks and he began to preach the word of the Lord. And then he began to get ready to show them a film. I'm going to show you this film of T.L. Osborne. And he pulled out the projector and he pulled out the screen. And as he turned on the projector, the rain started falling. Very thick drops of rain. And my dad looked at the sky and he began to pray, and he said, "I take authority over the rain in the name of Jesus." And the rain stopped, and they showed the film, and 5,000 people got saved. The moment he packed up the projector and the screen and put it in the car, the rain started again. The next day, my dad was walking down the road, and he met a man, and the man said to him, "Brother Tom, do you know what happened last night? Last night while you were praying, we saw a hand the size of a house with a nail print right through the center, and it was holding back the rain." Now, that was the hand of the healer. My dad went home that night, and guess what? The next day when he got out of bed, his asthma was gone. Totally healed by the power of God. I am the Lord. God said, I am the Lord. See, he's Lord over sickness. He's Lord over disease. He's Lord over every demon. He's the Lord. I am the Lord of the situation. I am the Lord that's going to heal you. There are no other lords in the world that can bring you out of your sickness and your disease except the Lord God. And you know what the Bible said when you read it? It says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all of their diseases. Psalm 107:20, He sent His word. Now, how many know Jesus is the word? How many know Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil? He didn't come down here just to come down here so that He might say, well, I went down there and I saw how people live and I lived like them and now I'm going back to heaven. Jesus came down here for the whole purpose of manifesting so that He might destroy the works of the devil, sin and sickness and disease, and He might bring you out of your sin, sickness and disease and set you absolutely free. So He's the healer. I am the Lord. I am the healer. Now, not only has the Lord become your healer and He does not change, I want you to know the word never changes. How many know? Heaven and earth may pass away. But the word of the Lord, that's the word. That's the word I'm holding. The word of the Lord will never pass away. Everything else may pass. The fashions, the politicians, everything in this world may change. The heavens and the earth one of these days are going to totally be annihilated. But this word will always be the same. You cannot alter the will. And Jesus, who is the testator, who is the author, who is the one who died and established the new will. This is the new will. The old will is the old will and testament. This is the new will and testament. And when I read the new will, I read the old one, I read what He said. But when I read the new one, I read the finished product. The old one says in Isaiah chapter 53, by His stripes we are healed. The new one says in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we were healed. See, so we are, but we also we were. So God's already brought to pass what He said, and He has become the healer of every person here tonight. So He hasn't changed, the word hasn't changed, and He has promised healing, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. There's healing all through the Word. See, all you have to do is do what the Bible said, become a believer. Now, let me tell you what the Lord did. Do you know that healings and miracles are all through the Word of God? In the New Testament, Jesus healed a nobleman's son. He healed a demonic. And how many know who the greatest disciple of love in the Bible is? No. Peter. Peter said, Jesus, would you come heal my mother-in-law? That's love. And Peter healed, had his mother-in-law healed. Now I'm telling you something, if God can heal your mother-in-law, He can heal anyone. How many know Jesus healed a leper? There were 10 lepers one time and came to Jesus. And Jesus looked the 10 lepers over and He said, what would you like me to do? And they said, we would like to be healed. So He said, go show yourself to the priest. Went all the way down the road to show themselves to the priest. You weren't supposed to go to the priest unless you were already healed. So they went to show themselves to the priest, and on the way, the Bible said they were cleansed. Now that means all their runny sores dried up. So they went home, and you know what the 9 of the lepers said to all their friends and neighbors and loved ones? We just got cleansed. We just got cleansed. And one leper said, I tell you what, I got cleansed, but I'd like to be made whole. The translation of that is, I may have got cleansed, but I'd like to be made complete. I'm going to go back. See, there's a lot of people who got cleansed from sin, but they need to come back and be made complete. See, don't settle just, well, I got saved, praise God, now I'm paying my tithe, I'm warming my pew, I'm going to church, I'm happy with my experience. No, you need to reach a place where you say, Lord, I want to walk in the fullness of the anointing, of the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the completeness of God. I want to do what the Bible said and be more and more like Jesus. And one leper came back and he came to praise him. You heard me say the language of faith. The Bible said he fell down and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Well, they are self-satisfied. They are gone. But I came back to thank you. And Jesus said, be made whole. He got new fingers. He got a new face. Where the old face may have been eaten away by leprosy, he got a new kneecap. Hey, sir, I had some toes eaten away. All of a sudden, he looked down. He got new toes. He's made whole. When he went to his neighbors and said, do you know who I am? They said, no. I'm your neighbor. No, you don't look like our neighbor. Our neighbor looked like a leper. He had part of the face eaten away, part of the fingers eaten away, the kneecaps eaten away, the toes eaten away. You don't walk like him. You don't look like him. I know, sir. But you see, I went back to give thanks, and Jesus made me complete. If you want a miracle from God, whatever you're suffering with tonight, you need to come back to him every day and just thank him. Pray about your problem, pray about your sickness, and then start having a thank you, Lord. I've just come to worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't look good. I don't feel good. Everything's working against me. It doesn't look like I'm healed, Lord, but I'm just coming to praise you anyway. Hallelujah. I'm coming to thank you for the completeness of my miracle. It looks like that the pain might still be there. It looks like the situation has not yet left me. It looks like I'm not recovered yet. But Lord, I'm going to thank you because I am going to be complete in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can talk your way into healing. You can speak your way into divine health by speaking the word of the Lord. Because God is a healer according to the word. And I'll tell you what, Jesus was moved with compassion. You know what the Bible said? He healed all the sick. He cast out all the spirits with his word. And then the Bible says he was moved with compassion with those who came to him. And then he turned around and he said, I want to give this authority to the disciples. How many know you're a disciple? I give you authority. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about how God deals with sickness. These are the very key words in Isaiah 53 and verse 56 and verse about 56 verse 6. He says, let the oppressed go free. Isaiah 58, 6. Let the oppressed go free. How many know that when you are sick, you are oppressed? Amen? So here's the attitude that God has towards sickness. The first thing that God said about sickness is this. It's a captivity. If you read the Bible, you find out that it says, it was Satan, not God, that put sickness upon righteous Job. And it said, but the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So the Bible says that your sickness that you carry in your body is keeping you captive. When you're laying in the sick bed, when you're laying in the hospital, when you're in the wheelchair, you are actually captive. You can't do anything. You're just like a person in prison. You're bound. It's a captivity. Hey, I have my hands tied. I can't do anything. When you have back trouble, you can't even get out of bed. You can't even walk. You're captive. You can't go anywhere. Well, I can't go to work today because I tell you what, I just can't move. I can hardly move. Well, you're captive. But Jesus said, let the oppressed go free. Let me tell you the second thing. Did you know that Jesus had an attitude towards sickness? You need to have an attitude. You need to have an attitude. You need to turn to your sickness and say, hey, sickness, I refuse to have you rule my body. You need to get a good attitude. You need to get mad at the devil. My wife this past week, I don't know if I told, but my wife had a back trouble all of a sudden. She got out of bed about 5 days ago. She felt like someone put a knife in her back. All of a sudden, she said, like somebody turned the knife in my back. She got out of bed. She had to crawl down the stairs of the second-story house. She laid on the bottom stair. She started to cry. She said, Drummond, I want to tell you something. Someone seems like stuck a knife in my back. I don't know what I'm going to do. She lay there. I walked out the door after praying. I went to the office. She crawled up about 10 stairs. She got to the second landing. And as she lay on the second landing, like a knife in her back, she started shouting at the devil. She got an attitude. She said, "You devil, you get out of my back in the name of Jesus." She phoned me a few minutes later. She's walking and running all over the house. I left her. She couldn't walk. I left her. She couldn't even crawl. I left her. She was crying. Now she's running. She said, "I just got an attitude. I got it in my spirit." You have to get it in your spirit that you're not going to allow the devil to keep you down, because the Bible says Jesus has an attitude, and this is what he said. He said, "Sickness is a bondage." And he said to the little woman who was bound by the devil, he said, "Lo, this woman whom Satan hath bound for all of these years, should she not be loosed?" And Jesus walked over to that little woman and he said, "Woman, thou art loosed." And the little lady started straightening up. Boy, she just, her whole back straightened up. And the lady started walking around, totally healed by the power of God. Jesus had an attitude towards sickness because he knew that sickness, not only according to his Father, was a captivity, but it was also a bondage. Now let me tell you what the Holy Spirit thinks about sickness. The Holy Spirit thinks that sickness is an oppression. The Holy Spirit called, it says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. Are you happy when you get oppressed? Are you happy when you have headaches? "Well, I got a headache. Oh, hallelujah." Hey? Are you happy when you're sick? You're laying around so oppressed, you lay on the couch and say, "Well, husband, just bring me some soup. Hallelujah." And all of a sudden, he just takes care of you. All of a sudden, you're under oppression. Well, God said about oppression, just like the Holy Spirit said, and I read it in the Word right here for you. God said, and you read it, that oppression comes from the devil. See, the devil will keep you in bondage. The devil will keep you captive. The devil will keep you oppressed, because the devil is out to rob you from what the Word says. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And God is your healer. Now, if you read the Bible, let me just give you a few insights. Sickness is produced by sin. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, we would have no sickness. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, we would have no death. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, we would have lived forever. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, we'd all be pretty. How would you like to live forever? Everybody want to live forever? Raise your hands. How many know we're going to live forever? How many know we never had a beginning? Amen. We did have one, didn't we? How many know God never had a beginning? And how many know God will never have an end? How many know you never had a beginning? You did. And you will never have an end. You may have begun, and sin may have destroyed you, and sin may have oppressed you, and sin may have brought you into captivity, and sin may have brought you into bondage, but the day will come when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, hallelujah, and sin shall no more have dominion over you, and you will go into the presence of God, and there will be no more hospitals, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more Medicare, there will be no more Medicaid, there will be no more Alzheimer's, so you won't be forgetting anything, there will be nothing detrimental to righteousness, because when you get into the presence of God, you're going to be totally well, but you don't have to wait to get to heaven to be well. You can be well right now. You just have to deal with the oppressor. You turn around and say, "Devil, the Bible says, let the oppressed go free. You take your hands off me in the name of Jesus." See, the little lady said to me as I was getting ready to lock the door of this auditorium where I was preaching in the city hall in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, as I was getting ready to walk out the door, she looked at me and said, "Excuse me, sir, before you go, would you pray for this girl?" And I looked at the girl, club feet, back to front, steel braces, shoes built up like that, steel braces all the way up to her hips, three leather tongs on either side, tying those braces together. And little girls walking behind her like this. And the lady said, would you pray for her? And I said, not really. Oh, sir. They told me if I come here, you'd pray. I said, I know, I'd love to pray. But I want to tell you something about praying. I said, I would first like you to sit under the anointing before I do the praying. See? This is not a quickie. This is not McDonald's. Well, just lay hands on me so I can go out and do my same thing. Person knocked on my door the other day, said, I hear you cast out devils. Now, I believe I have quite a few. Would you cast them out? I'm in a hurry. You know? You cast them out. I'm in a hurry. Could you do that right now? Two nights ago, a fella met me in my meeting. He said, you break generational curses? And then he looked at me and said, do you have some time? I said, no. I said, I didn't come here to break generational curses. I said, I didn't come here to give you all that time because you believe it's going to take a long time. That's how long it's going to take. It may never happen. I said, would you like to get rid of your generational curses? And would you like to get rid of the devil? He said, I would. I said, you go to your church, you sit under your pastor, and you get full of the word for about 3 months, and let your pastor fill you with the word, and the devil will get nervous, and he'll leave automatically. Yeah, but I want it right now. Well, you get it right now, you get it back right now. Amen? If you get full of the word, you can't be full of the devil. If you get full of the word, you won't be full of sickness. If you get full of the word, you move into divine health. If you get full of the word, you move into total deliverance. People need to sit under the word, and they need to take the word, and they need to go home, and they need to take it and make it a part of their lifestyle. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you just grab your word and say, devil, let me read you what the word says. Because I've been around a long time, I learned one thing about Christians. The moment the devil comes in like a flood, the first thing they do is they forget the word. Don't forget the word. You forget the word, you forget the man behind the word. See, so the little lady said, could you pray quickly? And I said, no. You bring her back tomorrow night. I said, but I'll tell you what, I'm really a gentleman. I'll be very courteous. And I do believe I have compassion. So I'll pray my quick prayer. But you bring her back tomorrow night. I did it out of courtesy. Because I knew the little girl had struggled with those little legs that were so dilapidated. And she'd pulled herself up the stairs of that city hall. And there she was, see, with those legs that had never been well. And so I just took her by the hand and I said, little lady, receive a miracle in Jesus' name. And I said, take her home and bring her back. And the big lady who brought her looked at me and said, excuse me. I said, what's wrong, dear? I got to go to the restroom. I said, I want to lock the door. I want to go to the restroom. I said, I want to lock the door. Well, I have to go. So she went. And when she come back, I said, well, are you through? Oh, I had to go. I said, why did you have to go? I mean, what a question to ask the woman. Why do you have to go? Well, sir, when you prayed for the girl, I'm wearing a curvature spine, a big steel brace around me. And when you said that little prayer, my spine straightened up and my curvature brace started falling off. That's why I had to go to the restroom. I don't want her to fall around my ankles. So she took the girl and she left. I mean, they went down. I went over to the hotel and next night I came back and I was on this big platform in the city hall and I had all, you know, I looked in the crowd and I saw this crowd of people come running. I looked out there. So, my, where are these people coming from? And somebody ran in the door and said, excuse me, sir. We came to see the fire. I said, where's what fire? We're a mile down the road on the main street of town, and we saw flames shooting out of the city hall, so we came to see, we all came to see the city hall burn. And they said, when we got here, there's no smoke, but there's fire. I said, oh God, the Holy Ghost is here. Man, even drew a crowd. And I said, everybody got healed last night, come up. And the deaf came up. And the dumb came up. See, I prayed only for major sicknesses. And the blind came up. And I had them on the platform. And I said, now we're going to have the deaf, the dumb, and the blind. People have got healed last night. And there's about 250 people sitting out there. And as they begin to testify, I looked. And Yah stood this young girl in a pink dress. And I said, and my dear, what happened to you? And I looked, and yeah, come the lady from behind the curtain who had to go to the bathroom because she lost her steel corset. And she said, oh, sir, that's the little girl with the back to front feet. We were walking down the road last night of the main street of town when the little girl said, oh, please, could you take off my shoes? They're hurting my feet. Oh, ma'am, could you take off the steel brace? Oh, I can't walk with these braces anymore. And today, hey, I got out of bed and her feet had turned around. Club feet, back to front, had turned around. And so I went out and bought a brand new pair of pink shoes, brand new pink dress. This was the first pair of shoes she's ever worn. She's totally healed by the power of God. Hey, she was captive. She was in bondage. She was oppressed. But Jesus set her free. Now, I want to say this before I go on. If you want what God has, you're not going to get it just because you read it. If you don't mind me putting it my way, and the word says so, you're going to get it because you're full of God. You have to go into the presence of God and you have to lay on your face and you have to get to a place where you say, Lord, I am so hungry, I can't stand it. I want to be so emptied of me. I want to get rid of all the old me, all the old doubts, all the old fear, all the old unbelief. I want to get rid of all the old attitudes in my life. I want to have the attitude of the Spirit that when I get up, I'm going to move like a man and a woman filled with the power of the anointing. And when I take someone by the hand, I'm going to expect something to flow through me and touch them, and they're going to be healed for the glory of God. You have to want what God has. I had to want it. I used to watch the men of God, and they would pray for the sick, and I said, I want that. So I went after the sick. Oh, I'd grab every deaf ear I could. Come out, you deaf? And pray for you. I pray for them. I prayed for a deaf man the other day, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I have ringing in the ears. I said, have you tried answering it? He looked at me and he smiled like I was making a joke. He started smiling. I said, what are you smiling about? I just got healed. See, I first got him full of joy. It seemed funny. I got him full of joy and he got healed. So you have to have an attitude towards sickness. You have to say, I'm not going to be in bondage anymore. I'm not going to be taken captive anymore. I'm not going to be oppressed anymore. And you have to realize that sin, if there's sin in your life, it will produce sickness and it will keep you captive and you'll miss what God wants to do. Also, if there's disobedience, anytime you disobey God, you will find out you can rebel against the will of God. And it says in the word, it says over here, it says, as you read it, it says, God will lift the sickness from you, for God will smite your rebellious spirit. If God can get rid of some rebellion, you know, well, I'll tell you what, I would like God to heal me, but I want to do my own thing. God's not going to heal you to do your own thing. God's going to heal you to do His thing. Now, listen to this. You say, has anybody ever been smitten with sickness according to the word? Abimelech and his wives were smitten with sickness. Did you know that Abimelech, because he tried to marry Abraham's wife, all of a sudden, his wife became barren. They couldn't have any kids. Do you know that Miriam became leprous because she disobeyed God and spoke against the man of God? Did you know, according to the word of God, that Gehazi tried to go after the king and get some money because the prophet didn't want the money because of what he did for the Lord, and Gehazi became a leper? So if you are sinful and rebellious and you disobey the word of God, you just open the door. But you want to close the door. Now, when you close the door to sickness, even though the enemy tries to come against you, the enemy cannot touch you as long as you are protected. Now, let me give you a few examples of healing in the Bible. Did you know God heals through the Word? How many ever been healed through the Word? How many know God heals because of the stripes of Jesus? How many know God heals when you look to Jesus, looking unto Jesus? How many know God heals you when you anoint cloths? How many know God heals you when you lay hands on the sick as a believer? How many know God heals you when you anoint with oil? How many know God heals you when you pray the prayer of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many know God heals you when you partake of the Lord's Supper? And how many know, Lord, God can even heal you in different ways. The shadow of Peter touched the man, and he was healed. I was with the great Tommy Hicks, great man of God. He said, I went to South America. There were 360,000 people, 180,000 in the soccer stadium, 180,000 outside the soccer stadium. He said, I preached 5 times a day for 5 months. He said, I got so tired that the last month I just sat on the chair. He said, I was sitting on the chair, and as I was sitting on the chair, all of a sudden, the people started filing by the thousands. He said, I turned to the interpreter. I said, what's happening, sir? He said, oh, everywhere your shadow is, the people are walking in your shadow, and they've been healed by the power of God. See, the same man went to Russia, and he said, I got up and I looked through the crowd and 5,000 people, and I said to the crowd, I said, the Bible said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the interpreter spat in his face. I don't believe that. He said, as the tears, a man with 5 earned degrees, as the tears rolled down his face, he said, oh God, I'm going to close the service. Lord, the lady just spat in my face, and I'm just going to go home. I feel so disappointed. And he said, as I opened my mouth to say a little prayer, I started preaching Russian for 1 hour. He preached to 5,000 people in Russian. And then he said, as I began to preach, I didn't know what I was saying. And all of a sudden, I gave an altar call. And 5,000 people raised their hands and got saved. And he said, a little lady walked up and grabbed him by the coat and looked him in the eye and started telling her problems in Russian. And he looked at her and said, I don't know what you're talking about. All of a sudden, he moved back into English. But you see, the Lord turned up. He said, God healed them. He said, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the cripples were healed by the power of God. He said, all of a sudden, God's word in my mouth. See, God's word in my mouth. As they begin to look to Jesus, as I projected Jesus, you have to look unto Jesus, and Jesus is the healer. There is none other name given amongst men except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has honored Jesus with the greatest name that ever was. There's healing in the name. There's power in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's salvation in the name. You cannot change the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name that God gave because it's revered in heaven. It's revered in earth. And I want to tell you something. The name of Jesus is respected and revered in hell. The devils know the power of the name of Jesus. And the devils are afraid of the name. And when you act on the word, you need to speak the name. When I walk around, I say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When I stand before 200,000-300,000 people in India, and I look the crowd over, I pray my 5-minute prayer. It takes me 5 minutes. I tell them, I say, you just bow your heads and listen to me. And I say, devil, and I talk to the devil for 5 minutes. I say, devil, you listening to me? I want to tell you something. Just like this. See, they speak Indian, I speak English. I say, you listen to what I say? Devil, you have no rights. Jesus gave me the rights. Devil, you have no power. Jesus stripped you. Devil, do you know what happened one day? Jesus walked over to you. You had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus walked over and he took it away and he said, excuse me, sir, I want to give it to Drummond Tom. And he walked over and he gave it to me. Devil, you have no rights. Devil, I want you to know, you remember when Jesus kicked you out of heaven? He gave me the power. You remember when Jesus stripped you? He gave me the authority. You remember when Jesus conquered you? He made me more than the conqueror. Devil, you don't have a thing. I have it all. And right now, as I take authority, devil, the blind spirits that you put on these people will see. The deaf will hear. The dumb will speak. The cripples will walk. The cancers will be healed. Devil, in the name, in the name. And the more I say the name, the devil reveres. The devil respects. The devil is shaken by the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the key to receiving is to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name. And if you start exerting your rights and speak in the name of Jesus, the same God that said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, will start healing because the name of Jesus has brought about the finished product at Calvary. There's healing, amen, in the redemption. Jesus made what they term as a propitiation for sin. When he died at the cross, he bore all of your sin. He bore all of your sickness. He bore all of your disease. He bore all of your pain. He bore all of your sorrow. He bore all of your problems. And when you speak and say, devil, in the name of Jesus, the devil has to listen to the words that you speak. Now, let me give you a few reasons people are not healed. Some people have insufficient instruction, or they are ignorant. Did you know the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what the word says? Do you know faith for salvation comes by hearing what the word says? Did you know that doubt comes by hearing what people say? You're not going to get healed. God's not going to do it. Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear what the... You have to hear. Let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says. You have to hear what God says. That's why when I read to you Exodus chapter 15, it says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Now it's carried over to the New Testament and it says, faith comes by hearing. See, God just took it over. He said, you have to diligently hearken, or you have to have faith to hear what I say. And the second thing, healing is made void by the traditions of men. Listen to this. You have made void the law by your traditions. One fellow told me that God put sickness on us to make us better Christians. I said, oh, you go to the doctor? Oh, yes. You're a bad Christian. You take pills for your sickness? Yes. You're a bad Christian. You have insurance so that when you get sick, you can run to the hospital? He said, oh, yes. You just told me God put it on you to make you a better Christian. I said, you know what you need? You need to be a real good Christian. Ask for two cancers. Hey, that'll make you better. Well, Lord, I believe you put this on me, so give me two. Man, I'm really going to be good. You know? If you get hurt your leg in an accident, go back and let another car hit the other one. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, making a good Christian out of me. All right? God doesn't put sickness on you. Do you want your children to get sick? You want your kids to walk around all sick and afflicted? No. You want your kids to walk around and have all kinds of things on their life? No. How do you think God feels? We're his kids. You know what else? If you read traditions, you know, some people glory in their sickness. I prayed for a lady who was blind and God healed her instantly. And the next day I came back and she was blind. And I said to the family, she got healed last night. I mean, she was so healed, she could read everything. And the family looked at me and said, if she stays healed, she'll lose her blind pension. So last night she said, I can't lose my pension. And she went back to being blind. Isn't that sad? So her tradition was, well, I'd rather be blind. You know, that was her attitude towards it. Listen, the most common tradition is, the days of miracles are past. God doesn't heal anymore. Well, if God doesn't heal anymore, he doesn't save anymore. Because salvation is a miracle. If God doesn't heal anymore, then he doesn't deliver anymore. Deliverance is a miracle. If God doesn't heal anymore or save anymore, amen, deliver anymore, then he doesn't provide anymore. Because provision is a miracle. Well, the days of miracles are past. This one fellow told me the other day, he said, you know what's wrong? He said, you preach the wrong gospel. You need to realize that Mark chapter 16 from verse 9 to 24 is not in the original manuscripts. I said, it's too late now. I said, I've been preaching it for years. I said, if it's not there and it's working for me, well, praise God, I've got something working that's not even there. I really upset him. I said, where do you go to church? And when he told me, I said, tradition of men told you that, didn't they? They trained you to believe. I said, you believe what you were... I said, you need to believe what the word says. Don't you listen to what man says? If anybody tells you other than what the word says, you say, just a minute, that's not what the word says. I want to line up my confession with the word. I want to line up my lifestyle with the word. I want to line up my believing with the word. If the word says it, I'm going to believe it. And I'll tell you something. Some of the reasons people are not healed also is because they pray in unbelief. Listen to the prayer of unbelief. The Bible says that he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, the reason you couldn't heal the boy was because of your unbelief. And some people pray, well, Lord, I wonder, I just don't know, but do you think you can do it? Don't talk to God like that. You think you can do it? I won't let people lay hands on me when I feel sick, you know. If they're going to pray, they can't pray. My wife woke me up in the middle of the night a few years ago and said, honey, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? And I just reached over and said, woman, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm what you call a holy roller. I roll back over and go back to sleep. I'm an undercover agent. I went right back under the covers. You should have heard the complaint in the king-size bed, telephone on either side, so I can phone and say, how you doing over there, honey? Next morning, complaint. You don't love me. Why don't I love you? You prayed a short prayer. You should have sat up with me. I said, why? I said, let me ask you something, Charlotte. Did you get healed? Yes. Well, have you got healed? Well, you didn't even open your eyes. You didn't even wake up. I says, no, that's right. I walk in an unconscious reality of faith, and I just lay hands in the name of Jesus. She got healed. Man, she walked around the next day telling, well, I got healed. How long did he pray? Not long enough. So I'm sending my wife on a second honeymoon. She's going to Florida and I'm going to Hawaii. Hallelujah. God's a healer. Amen. Now let me tell you quickly, and I'm going to do this. God is a healer. Jesus is a healer. The disciples went around healing the sick. The 70 healed the sick. The early church healed the sick. God commissioned every believer out to heal the sick. Amen. And I want you to know, there's three types of healing in the Bible. And let me quickly give you the three types. There's instant healing, there's progressive healing, and there's obedient healing. Now there was a blind man who came to Jesus, and he said these words in the book of Mark. His name was Bartimaeus, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, you know, I believe you can heal me. Because Jesus turned around and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the man spoke words. These are the most beautiful words. Jesus, son of David, man of authority, man of power, man of the lineage of David. David was a king, and I believe you're a king. A king is a man of authority and power. Now, Jesus, son of David, have compassion on me. And Jesus turned around and said, what do you want? He knew what he wanted, but he wanted to hear him say it. I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Instant miracle. Now a leper came to Jesus, and Jesus said to the leper, what do you want? And the leper said, I would like to be made whole. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Obedient healing. And then another blind man came. Jesus said, what does he want? He would like to see. And Jesus went over and touched him. He touched him. Do you see, sir? I can see blur. Men like trees. I'm not really healed yet. Jesus said, excuse me. Touched him again. See anything now? Perfect. So one person's healed instantly. One person's healed obediently. One person's healed progressively. Now, if you pray for someone and they get healed instantly, praise God. If you pray for someone and they get healed and the Lord tells them to put something straight, obedience, tell them, you need to put it right. Obedience. And if you pray for someone and they healed progressively, they have to praise God. They have to walk it out. They have to spend time with God. Tell them, just walk it out. Just praise God. Just praise God. They will be healed progressively. God heals instantly, obediently, progressively, because God is a healer. And the Word says it, and I believe it. And how many know God will do exactly what the Word says? Everybody raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you that your word,
is your power,
unto salvation,
to everyone,
who dares to believe.
And Lord,
for everyone who sees the tape, as they reach out by faith,
give them a miracle.
We loosen them. You said loosen them
and let them go free.
We loosen them,
whatever the ailment might be,
and we let them go free
in the name of Jesus.
J-E-S-U-S. His name is Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.